perhaps the greatest treasure on this earth and one of the only things that will survive this life is human relationships, old friends. We are indeed rich if we have friends. Friends who have loved us through the problems, heartaches, and reversals of life. Deep, true, joyful friendships. Life is just too short and eternity too long to live without old friends.
Each week here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. Now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Well, hello and thank you for once again inviting you right back in your homes on this beautiful day the Lord has made. And the Bible said we can rejoice and we can be glad therein. Well, let's begin our broadcast this morning by rejoicing in this beautiful song that we've been singing for several years. Hope you enjoy it. It's got a great message, a great meaning. It says, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be.
Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw some old friends that I used to know. Now when they ask me what has happened, I try to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears flow down my face, I try to tell them, I don't come here anymore. Then I went back to the place where I used to live. My little boys ran to hide behind the door. I said, boys, you don't have to run and hide from your daddy now, because you see you got a brand new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears flows down my face, I try to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears flows down my face, I try to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I don't live anymore.
Well, I trust today that you can also testify to the fact that life has been changed. No one ever come in contact with Jesus Christ, but what their life has not been changed. And we trust today that everything's well at your place. Well, let's remember today Gene Lockhart and also Doris Lockhart. We're certainly glad that Doris is doing much better, been awfully sick since December. But she's home doing much better. And Gene, we appreciate him. Then also Gene Davis, a good friend of ours who had to undergo surgery. And we want to remember him in prayer. Many of the others around in the listening audience that we know. And you are in our prayers. We are remembering you. Well, let's do this beautiful song right here for you. Martha does this one. And I don't think anyone could do a better job on it than what Martha does. And this one says, "This is just what heaven means to me." Let's send this out to Mary and Martin Howe.
A country where no twilight shadows deepen, an ending day where night will never be, a city where the storm clouds cannot gather. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng around the crystal sea? To meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever. All this is just what heaven means to me. And when at last we see the face of Jesus before whose image other lives all flee, and when they crown him Lord of all, I'll be for this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng around the crystal sea? Our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Oh, this is just what heaven means.
You know, we do thank you for listening to our broadcast today, and so many people comment on it, and we certainly do appreciate that. We hesitate sometimes to mention names due to the fact that we're always afraid that we might leave someone out, but we appreciate all of you, and we're thankful for what the broadcast means to you, and we appreciate your help, your support that keeps it coming your way each Sunday morning. Well, let's go right back now. I want to do this recitation. You know, I love to do those recitations, and this one talks about the farmer. While resting one evening beside the road, I saw an old farmer in a field he just hoed. How his face was brown, kind of wrinkled from the wind, as he was talking to the Lord, just like he'd been talking to a friend. "Well, sir," he said in a voice calm and quiet, "that corn pasture needs shucking. Got no string to tie it tight. Had no rain so long, Lord, the fields are mighty dusty. It's been so unbearable hot that the kids are getting right down fussy. Now that grass down in the meadow, why, it should be knee high. If we could just get a little shower, Lord, it might keep the cow from going dry. Oh, but listen to me, Lord. You'd think that I was right down ungrateful.
Why, if you didn't know me, Lord, you'd even think that I was right down hateful. You would think I had forgotten about the new calf that you sent and all the money in the mail that took care of the rent. Ma's cold's better. Johnny's home to the Navy. And that good Sunday dinner, that chicken and dumplings, and that good old gravy. That new preacher, Lord, you sent us. Why, Lord, he is a fine young man. Why, he's just getting those sinners converted to beat the band. Well, guess I'll be moseying all alone, Lord. Don't want to take any more of your time. Guess there's just plenty of people that are waiting to call you on this line. Well, Lord, got to say good evening to you and watch over us tonight. And don't you go to worrying about us. Because, Lord, with your help and your care, I know that everything's going to be all right. Well, I enjoy doing those recitations. I think they got a great meaning. A little boy one time was kneeling by his bed praying for his mother, and he said, God, I want you to help my mother and protect her. And then he went on and said, I want you to help my father. I want you to protect him. And then he jumps in bed, and then he started to cover up his head, and he jumped back out of the bed and knelt down on the side of the bed and said, oh, by the way, Lord, take care of yourself, because if something happens to you, we're all in trouble. And true enough, that is really true. If something would happen, then we are all in trouble, aren't we? Well, let's go. I'll just give you a little humor there. I'm not going to charge you a thing for that, but just a little bit of humor to let you know that I am human, and all of us humans love to be humor. So let's do this song for you right here. Martha says it sounds like angels to her. Send us out to Irene, Bob, and Pauline, and Louise, and James, and Ernest, and Betty Joe, and let's send it over to Pearl, and OB Man, and, well, let's see. We just got so many people. Let's just play it and let you all enjoy.
Sure.
In Philippians chapter 3, we want to begin to read in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is your goals in life? What is the mark? Where do you want to go? I remember a story was told one time about an old elderly gentleman sitting on the porch, and a fellow came by, and he hollered at the elderly gentleman, and he said, "Sir, where does this road go?" And he said, "Well, son," he said, "where do you want to go?" "Well," he said, "where will I be when I get to the end of this road?" And he said, "Well, son, that all depends on where you want to go." And you know, roads can take us just about anywhere we want to go. But we've got to have a goal, and we've got to set a goal to the place that we want to be. Now notice what Paul said here. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. You see, a lot of Christian people don't want to face the reality that there is suffering for the cause of Christ. The Bible said, Jesus stated in his own words, if you're going to be my followers, take up your cross and follow me. You can't have a cross without having suffering. But we don't want to have to bear the heavy burden of the suffering of the cross. We don't want to bear the suffering and the shame of the cross. But Paul goes on to say, not as though I had already obtained, either were already made perfect. Now, that's really going to backset on a whole lot of people, because we got a lot of people who are so heavenly that they're not earthly, because they already think they have obtained and they are already in the state of perfection. But we are not perfect. We are only being born again, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are being worked on daily. I know that the sanctifying power of God works in every believer's life. But always remember, and the people will differ with me on this, but I stand firm on this doctrine of sanctification. I believe that sanctification is old-time separation. We have been separated from the world through and by God and the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's not a one-time deal and it's over. We are always being sanctified, always being separated, separated from self, separated from temptation, separated from many different situations that come in our life. And the Apostle Paul said, I have not yet obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended in Christ Jesus. You see, we can be going in the wrong direction. We can be going in the wrong places. We can be going to the wrong places. The Apostle Paul faced that on the road to Damascus. He had a letter in his hand. He was persecuting the church. The Bible said anyone that was in that way, he would take them into the Roman prisons, and there they would feed them to the lions while they laughed and made mockery. He even held the coat while they stoned Stephen to death. And the Apostle Paul was speaking about this. But he said, I was going in the wrong direction. That's why I said a while ago, a road will take you someplace, but you got to have a goal to where you want to go. Because if you don't know where you're going, just any road will take you there. But the Apostle Paul said, I was apprehended by Christ on the road to Damascus. I was going in the wrong direction. And you know, our lives become unattainable or in shambles sometimes due to the fact that we don't really set a goal in life. We just go from one situation to another situation. I like what John Wesley said. He said, stay with one thing until you learn it before you go on to something else. And you know, that's a real good statement, because that's what we need to do. We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We don't need to waver. We don't need to be up and down and in and out. We can be steadfast, unmovable, and then the Bible said we can abound in the grace of God. And that's what Paul is talking about. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. You see, one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You see, if we're going to set goals for our life, first thing, we got to forget those things that are behind. A lot of mistakes have been made. A lot of errors have been made. A lot of bad decisions have been made. But we can't linger on those. We've got to go on. We've got to set goals, and then we've got to decide what we want in life, and we need to go out. We need to launch out into the deep and go after the things that we're looking for in life. That's why that God gave me the theme many years ago, Something to Believe In. Because if you don't believe in something, you'll end up standing for nothing. We've got to be steadfast in what we believe. We've got to be specific about what we really want in life. We've got to be specific about God. We can't be wishy-washy. And sometimes it just helps us to write it down. Write it down. Remind ourselves of it. I've did a lot of revivals, and a lot of times when I do a revival, when I start a revival that first night, I'd always ask them to put on the refrigerator those little stickers, you know, that you put on your refrigerator, little magnetic things. I'll tell them, I'll say, I want you to put a list there of the things you're intending to do during this revival. And then after revival's over, I want you to go back and get that list and see if you've done what you said you were going to do during revival. And it's nothing but just good goals that we set. We need visions. We need to visualize it. We need to see it. We need to see that it's there. You see, we are people of faith. The Bible said we, the just, shall live by faith. It is a leap of faith. We talk faith. We preach faith. But do we really believe in faith? You know what faith is? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It is an evidence of things that you've never seen before. It's an evidence of something that is impossible with you and I. But with God, it's never impossible. We've got to put it in action. We not only speak it, but we've got to see, visualize it, I mean, but we've got to see it actually happen. We've got to put it in action, and then we've got to speak it. I think that sometimes we come short because we just don't simply tell God what we really want. The blind man said, oh, that I might see. The woman who had the issue of blood, she said, if I could but touch his garment. And all through the Bible, you'll find that people, when they come to Christ, they verbalize it. They spoke it. And you know, there's power in the spoken word. We can speak faith. We can speak faith by our lips and by our action. And we can paralyze it. Power to have faith to receive it. It takes power to receive from God. That's why the Apostle Paul said here, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is a prize to be obtained. You can make it if you can take it. It's not going to be an easy way. It's going to be a hard way sometime. It's going to be a way of persecution and a way of pain and a way of suffering. But remember the old saying, no pain, no gain. And if we're going anywhere, then we've got to visualize it, we've got to paralyze it, we've got to put it in action, and most of all, we've got to be specific about what we want and where we're going, and I will assure you, if you get on that road, that you will go exactly where God intends for you to be.
Well, when the Lord saved me, my sins forgave me, and he started me on my way home. He said, son, don't you worry, there's no need to hurry, for you won't have to walk it alone. And I'm gonna make it all home someday. Go on.
times when I falter, I just find myself alone too, and I pray till everything gets alright. For in His Word, He assures me, on my knees He secures me, and I know He's gonna see me through the night, and I'm gonna make it all home someday. I'm gonna make it all home someday. For my Jesus cleaned me all of the way, and I'll make it all home someday. Oh yes, my Jesus cleaned me all of the way, and I'll make it all home. Yes, I'm gonna make it all home. Yes, I'm gonna make.
Father, we bring our unsealings to You. We realize that there's much pain, there's much heartache, much sickness throughout our land. We pray for the boys overseas. We pray for the sick, the afflicted. We pray that You will use this broadcast, Lord, that You may receive the honor and the glory. And we thank You for those who have prayed and paid to help it going into the airways, that men and women are learning that there is truly something to believe in, and that something is truly Jesus Christ. Well, neighbor, it has been good to be with you today. We certainly do appreciate you. We appreciate your help. We appreciate your support. And we need that. We need to know that you're standing with us. If nothing else, just a letter of appreciation, a card or something, just letting us know that you enjoy the broadcast. And if you'd like a song or anything that we can do for you, we'd love to do that. By the way, you can always pull us up also on the internet, stbi.org. Sermons, songs, about anything you want that we do here on the broadcast is there on the internet. And well, we certainly do appreciate you. Send us, we can write to us. But until then, may God bless you and yours. That is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC 80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.